The Illinois State University School of Theater and Dance is rolling the dice and betting on love in Guys and Dolls, opening this weekend. The splashy musical spotlights charming gambler Nathan Detroit, who takes a bet to win over the devout Sarah Brown. The show is directed by Jimmy Christman, who says it has a special place in his heart because it was the first professional show he was in as an actor. Christman says the appeal of this Golden Age musical is undeniable.
Well, especially in the time right now that we're in, it just leaves you feeling good. It's happy. It's a toe tapper. You know the songs whether you realize it or not.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck let a gentleman see how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady with me.
The characters are big and bold, and the dance numbers are big and bold. So it's just it's one of those where you leave excited and energized by what you saw.
Let's talk a bit about the music. Frank Lesser, which I don't think Frank Lesser quite gets the credit that he really deserves.
No, it's wonderful music. It's those tunes that get stuck in your head, and there's songs you don't even realize they're from this show, but like Luck Be a Lady. And
If I Were a Bell.
Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're fondly caressing. Pal, if I were a salad, I know I'd be splashing my dressing. Ask me how to describe this whole beautiful thing. Well, if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding.
I never knew. First time I saw the musical, I was like, hey, that's from this musical? It's amazing.
He's a genius. He was brilliant. It's beautiful music. It's fun music. And the orchestra, the orchestrations that he has with it is just gorgeous. And we have a fantastic orchestra on the show.
Yeah, you're going to have a live orchestra down there. I'm looking down. I can see kettlebells down there. You know, you're going full-on orchestra down in the pit.
I think it's a 50-piece orchestra that we've got for every night of the show.
So how important is it to actually have a real live orchestra there? I can imagine under the stage there's almost a vibration to that. For a performer, you're a performer as well as a director. How does that feel to have that live as opposed to having a recording?
Oh, there's nothing like it. I mean, the energy coming from them, the energy that the audience feels, and again, like you said, underneath you, it's just powerful. And the first time I went to a rehearsal with the orchestra about 2 weeks ago and just sat in the audience listening, and like the hairs on my arm stood up, and I was like, I cannot wait for them to be with us. So
let's talk about the storyline. It's essentially about primarily a bunch of sinners.
A bunch of sinners, yes. And the missionaries who love them. We took the classic story, and many of the concerns that were brought up when we proposed doing the show were that there are a lot of misogynistic overtones to it, and so we have worked really hard to empower our women in the show.
How do you do that?
Well, I think the women are smarter than the men in the show. Like, for instance, in the Havana scene, typically that's staged as Skye just feeding alcohol to her, and we've switched it so that she's the one ordering. She's consenting to having it. She knows what she's doing. And that our women, our hotbox girls, we're embracing the burlesque and the empowerment of that. And that, yeah, we're sexy. We're women. We're unapologetically women. That's kind of what I talked to the designers from the very beginning, that I wanted those women to be strong.
Did you do any adjustments to Skye or to Nathan in this show?
Only in terms of their reactions and realizing what they've said now and adjusting themselves in the moment and realizing that their women are strong and they love them and we don't have to change for each other, which is kind of the theme of it. You've got to change the men or change the women to be what you want, and we don't really have that in this. So we are actually setting it in the 30s. I'm taking it back a little bit. We really loved the costuming and the architecture from that time, so we're going with that.
Yeah, I love how you've got this set with the a stage upon the stage.
Yes.
And you've got these curtains that are being drawn back, and they're red and they're revealing the shape of a heart.
Yes, that's Adelaide's hotbox stage where she gets to perform. It's gorgeous. You can't see it now. Obviously, it's not lit up, but it's when it is pulled forward and lit up, and it's just beautiful. And we've got all this color on the stage, and there's going to be color in the costumes. And what I told the designers from the beginning is that I want it to look like Crayola threw up on the stage. And they have delivered, so I'm excited.
And speaking of the costumes, I mean, this is a costume-heavy kind of a show, so you're really leaning heavy on the costume shop.
Absolutely. They have been wonderful to work with, and they have delivered on pretty much everything I've asked for and made it 1,000 times more than I could have ever wanted.
So do you find the humor ages well?
I think it does. There was a lot of working with the actors and catching what that humor was. Like, some of them didn't know what an A&P was. And so they would explain, well, that's a grocery store. And they're like, oh, well, that scene makes so much sense now. So, but once they get it, yeah, the humor's there.
Well, tell me about your cast and how they're approaching the show.
They have worked their tails off since day one. There are 31 of them, and it's probably one of the bigger casts that we've had here at ISU in quite a while. They have jumped right in and run with everything the choreographer, music director, and I have said, and hopefully they're just going to blow people away on opening night.
Jimmy, what do you think is the long-term cultural impact of this show on theater and on pop culture?
It is one of those timeless musicals. It is a musical for singers. It's a musical for non-singers. It's a musical for dancers. It's a musical for strong actors and character actors. So it's got all of that wrapped up in one wonderful little package.
This musical is based on short stories by Damon Runyon. Tell us about Damon Runyon's world.
I will tell you, I pulled specifically the Idyll of Miss Sarah Brown, the story that most of this is based on. When I read it, I pulled my actor playing Sky aside because it was probably one of the best character descriptions ever written of a character. Because the short story is about maybe 7 or 8 pages long, and it's a good 5 pages of just who Sky Masterson is, why he is what he is, how much money he has, and how much power he has, and the swagger when he walks in a room. And I just said, here you go, this is your character work. And he came back the next day, he was like, I don't have to do anything, it's all right there. But the characters in it are fun. I mean, all of these characters live in his stories, and I've got a great little anthology of all his stories up in my office that I've read through.
So were you, to begin with, a Damon Runyon fan, or has this made you more of a Runyon fan?
This has made me more of a fan, yeah.
There's a lot going on in this play, and there's a lot of great music and dancing and acting. But what are the universal truths that you want to share?
I think it's just celebrating love. When you love someone and you don't really have to have all the reasons why. And I think Arvide, Grandfather Arvide, really spells that out for Sarah in Act 2. And I think that's really the message of it. Why are you running from it if you know it's real? And that's what this show does. It celebrates that.
That's Jimmy Chrisman, director of Guys and Dolls, opening this weekend at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts and running through March 6th. I'm Laura Kennedy.